From 1992 to 2003, a high school football team went undefeated. From 1992 to 2003, they didn't lose a game and set a record for the most consecutive games ever won. We admire athletes, musicians, great speakers, people that can perform feats of strength, and anyone really who is a master at their craft, a woodworker, a blade master, a boxer. And there's nothing wrong with desiring perfection and wanting to be our very best. But often, one area of our life gets overlooked. And it's the most important one. Really, the one that matters when all things are said and done. And that's giving God our best. Please open your Bibles with me and turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis, the 22nd chapter, is where we're going to take our lesson this evening. We'll spend the majority of our time there. Genesis chapter 22, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. This is a familiar story for many of us. But every time I read it, I'm amazed at what God asked Abraham to do. Abraham has proved to be faithful on many occasions up until this point. But now God is asking Abraham to do a very difficult thing. This is a painful, gut-wrenching sacrifice that God has asked Abraham to make. What God has asked Abraham to do is to give him his best. And God requires the same from us. And that's what we're calling the message this evening, giving God our best. Now, I know the story is familiar, but I want you to put yourself in Abraham's position. I want you to read this story and think about it like you've read it for the first time. To take your son, your daughter, the person that you love more than anyone or anything in the world. And to think about going through that process of taking that walk, of looking in their eyes, of laying them on that altar with knife in hand, being willing to give God that sacrifice. Could you do it? There are many difficulties in what God has asked Abraham to do. Let's look at just a couple of them. Number one, there's a lack of precedent. This has never been done before. This has never been asked of before. Nothing like this has ever been commanded or required. Abraham couldn't look back and see how this was all going to work out. He had to trust God. God had never before demanded a human sacrifice. Number two, it lacks common sense. If you just sat down and started to think about it and reason through what God was asking, could you come up with the conclusion that this is what I need to do? Through our own logic and reasoning, it lacked common sense. It went against the principles of humanity. Third, it was a violation of the divine law. In Genesis, the 9th chapter, in verse 6, we read, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." All life is precious, and the life of a human being is divine. We're made in God's own image and need to be respected and valued as a human life. Abraham was not called upon to offer Ishmael, which would have been his second best. He was asked to offer Isaac in the child of his promise. In spite of the lack of precedence, the lack of common sense, in spite of violating the divine law, Abraham measured the cost and committed to giving God what he required, which was his best. The sacrifice would have cost him dearly. Think about what it would have cost him with his relationship with his wife, Sarah. Can you imagine what that conversation would have been like? Abraham takes Isaac out for a hike and comes back without him. I don't know what kind of mom Sarah was, but moms are pretty protective of their children. A child that she waited 90 years to have, that all her hopes and dreams were tied to. Abraham had to think about that, about what it would do to him and what it would do to his wife. If I take the boys out for a hike and they get injured, it's not a happy day. Abraham had to consider this as one of the costs of what God was requiring of him. And he decided to press on. You know, that obstacle alone prevents many people today of doing what they should. The pressure of a spouse, the pressure of a close friend, the opinion, like we talked about this morning, of what they may think, keeps us from doing what's required, the sacrifice that we're willing, that we need to make. God has asked from us to give Him our best. Abraham is a model for us to follow. God calls for our best. He calls for the best of our love. Let's turn over to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew chapter 10. And begin reading with me in verse 37. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Have you ever read those verses and thought about Abraham and what he was asked to do? God requires the best of our love. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter in verse 35, we read, "And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question," that's Jesus, "to test him. The lawyer said, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" God calls for the best of our love. He also calls for the best of our labor. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, in verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 reads, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might." In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul instructs us on the attitude that we are to have with our labor. He says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." God calls for the best of our love. God calls for the best of our labor. God calls for the best of our loyalty. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke, the 9th chapter in verse 23. "And he said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Skip down to verse 57. "And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' To another he said, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Yet another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home.' Jesus said to him, 'No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" When we commit our life to God, we commit to giving Him our best. We can't look back at our past life. We can't look back at our past sins, our selfishness. God requires the best of our loyalty. Abraham learned many things as a result of this test from God. One thing he learned was that what you put on the altar to God is not lost. It is not lost. We know how the story ends. Not a single hair on Isaac's head was harmed. And Abraham went on to receive the blessings of God through Isaac and his descendants. What we place on God's altar is not lost. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42 says, "Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Give a cup of water. Receive a reward. In Ecclesiastes 11th chapter and verse 1, the preacher tells us, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." And in Matthew the 6th chapter and verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And in Luke, the 6th chapter and verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you." This is not why we give, but God has ordered things to work this way. If we give of our best, we will be rewarded with so much more. God has promised us that. Because Abraham gave God his best, he began to receive the best of God's blessings. Had it not been for that angel that yelled out, "Abraham, Abraham, do not harm the child," Abraham would have gone through with that sacrifice. He would have carried out God's command. Abraham was ready. He had committed to giving God his best. And as a result, he was going to receive God's best. Turn back to our text in Genesis chapter 22. And let's look at verse 15. After God provided a ram that was stuck in the thicket for Abraham's sacrifice, God made a greater covenant of blessing with Abraham. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 15. "And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.'" Isn't that wonderful? Abraham gave God his best, and because he obeyed God's voice, he was going to receive the best of God's blessings. Through his offspring, all nations of the earth would be blessed through Christ. And are to this day. If we give our best to God, we too will receive the best of God's blessings. If you place all on God's altar by obeying the gospel of Christ and give your life in the waters of baptism and commit your life to God, you too will receive all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Abraham's life is a pattern for us to follow. An example for us. A pattern of faith and obedience. Abraham's obedience was prompt. Look again at our text in verse 2. He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Isn't that amazing? God told Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice. And so Abraham rose early in the morning to obey the voice of God. His obedience was prompt. How often do we put things off that we don't want to do? There's a sprinkler in my backyard that's been broke for over 2 years. And I made an excuses for a while. You know, we had a drought. I wasn't going to water anyways. The drought ended a while ago. I still haven't fixed it. There's a cable that's hanging down in my garage. And every time you open the door, it hits, that I've kind of learned to live with. It would probably take me about 5 minutes to fix it. But I haven't done it. How easy is it to put off the things that we are supposed to do, that we should have done, that we should do? In fact, I was supposed to make the assignments for the next month today, and I didn't do it. It's easy to procrastinate, to put off the things that we know we need to do. And those are little things. This was a difficult thing. Abraham didn't even sleep in. He rose up early to obey the voice of God. There may be some here tonight who are putting some things off. Not fixing a sprinkler, not repairing a cable. Important things. Some of you may be here this evening who are not saved, who know that they're dead in their sins, who know that they're lost in their current condition, who know that God has called them to repentance, who know that they need to obey the voice of God and what He has commanded them to do. God requires our best. And Abraham's obedience was prompt. If you're putting those things off, you're not following the example of Abraham. Abraham was commanded to offer his son as a sacrifice, and he obeyed promptly. Not only did Abraham obey promptly, he obeyed purposefully. Look at verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Abraham rose early and with purpose. Look at all the action words. He rose, he saddled, he took, he cut, he went. He saddled his donkey. He took his axe. He cut the wood. The wood that he thought was going to be used to sacrifice his son. He went out. He cut it himself. And he took it with him. He obeyed with purposeful action. Abraham's obedience was prompt. It was purposeful. It was also prophetic. I'm sure that Abraham didn't realize at the time, but God was painting a beautiful picture of what He was going to do with His own son. Look at verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. The father places the wood on the son's back and has him carry the wood up to the place of his imminent death. God the Father allowed Jesus to carry the wood to the place of his imminent death, the cross, which he would be sacrificed on Calvary. When God produced the ox in the thicket to spare Isaac, he fulfilled his promise to bless all nations through the seed of Abraham. He knew, ultimately, it was his son that he was going to be offering as the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. Abraham's obedience was prompt. He woke up early. Abraham's obedience was purposeful. He saddled his donkey. He cut the wood. Abraham's obedience was prophetic. The father placing the wood on the son's back. And Abraham's obedience was persevering. Look again at verse 7. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Again, I want you to picture being Abraham, looking at your son. Your son, "You know, we're going up to offer a sacrifice, Dad. I mean, I have the wood. We have the fire. Where's the lamb?" And Abraham, it must have been so difficult for him to look back at his son and to be thinking, "It's you. You're the sacrifice." How hard would that be? But instead, Abraham says, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." This had to be one of the most difficult things for Abraham to do, but he persevered. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, gives us some insight into the depth of Abraham's faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17 tells us, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.'" And Abraham, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. What faith. What obedience. Abraham was able to look past the present difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, how difficult it was going to be to actually carry out this act that God had required of him, and trust in the Lord. He believed that somehow, some way, God would make good on his promise that through Isaac, the world would be blessed. And Abraham concluded that if he did sacrifice his son, that God would raise him from the dead. Many never receive the best of God's blessings because we have never given our best to God. We will not give our best until we first give ourselves to God in every way. Do you give God your best in the morning? Do you start your day with prayer or Bible reading? Or are you focused on improving your physique or your business prowess? Or your financial security? Do you give your best at work, realizing that it's for God that you labor and not for man? Do you give God your best as you prepare for Bible class? Or do you put more effort into your homework? God deserves our best in every area of our life. But it begins with us giving our life to Him. They made a movie a few years ago of that high school football team, De La Salle, who won 151 consecutive games. The movie is called When the Game Stands Tall. It's a good movie if you haven't seen it. There's some good principles in that movie. The coach had a saying. He didn't expect his players to be perfect. He didn't expect perfection from them. But what he did require was perfect effort. We know that we make mistakes. And God does not expect perfection from us. Thank God. But He does require perfect effort. He requires us to give our best. And you know what's nice about that? We can all do that. Because that's just a choice. It's just a decision that we make. That we're going to give God our best. And everyone can do it. If you are a Christian, but you've lost your focus, you've gotten your priorities mixed up, now's the time to recommit your life to God, to just make a decision to give God your best. If you've been putting off what you know God has asked you to do, be prompt in your obedience. Be prompt. Rise up. Be purposeful. Come forward. Be prophetic. And enjoy the promise of a resurrected life as you're buried in the waters of baptism and raised up, that you too will be raised with Christ on the last day. And finally, persevere. Persevere as you continue to live the rest of your life for God and give Him your best. Do it now. If the invitation applies to you, let it be known as we stand and as we sing.